presence when he was here on this planet. So, because I did have that experience, then I can share a few things of my experiences, my relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and what I learned from the different experiences that I have with him, I will share with you. So, in 1970, I think most of you were not born. Who knows where you were, I don't know. But that was the year I was 22 years of age. That was the year I joined this Hare Krishna movement. It's 44 years ago. In America, USA, Boston, USA. I was searching for a guru because I had read many books about gurus and yoga. So I understood I must have a guru. I must find a guru. So at that time in Boston, there were many, many gurus from India, actually. There was one guru who said, I will give you a secret mantra. If you chant this mantra morning and evening, then after 6 months, you will become God. And maybe not God, but at least liberated. So I decided to give it a try. I tried, but unfortunately, it didn't work. And I did not become God. Nobody can become God. God is God. We are his servants. And so that didn't work. I tried Zen Buddhism. That also did not give me satisfaction. So finally, I tried this Christian consciousness. And so I went to the temple first time in Boston. It was a Sunday love feast. They were having a nice feast. So I asked the devotee, I said, so what is your process? What do you do? What do I have to do? And if I do that, what will be the result? So they said, our process is to chant, dance, and eat prasad. I said, okay, I'll try. And I tried it. And from the first day, the Hare Krishna mantra, I couldn't get it out from my mind. Actually, it wouldn't go. I was a musician before I became a devotee. And as a musician, I was trained how to hear. So when I heard the Maha Mantra, I thought, this is the perfect sound. This is the perfect sound. So then I was going visiting the temple, but I wasn't ready to take the next step of becoming a full-time devotee. But it was by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that he pushed me to take that next step. I have been reading the books. We didn't have many books. Only Gita, a small one, and Bhagavatam, the first canto that Prabhupada brought on the boat when he came over, three books, and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Isha Upanishad, Nectar of Devotion, that was it. So I had read all of the books, and I had done service, typing, and I liked the devotees very much, but still, my husband was not so much interested. And so it was hard for me to take the next step. Next step in those days, nobody could be a devotee outside. Everybody, if you want to be a devotee, you have to join and become brahmachari, brahmacharini. Even the grihasthas, they were like brahmachari and brahmacharini. Everybody was in one place together in the temple. Grihastha, brahmachari, brahmacharini. There were no sannyasis much. So then one weekend, after 5 months, I had been coming to the temple. The devotee said, Srila Prabhupada is coming. Would you like to stay for the weekend in the temple? I said, okay, I'll stay. So I stayed overnight, first night, and the day that Prabhupada was supposed to come, he gave a phone call, and he said, oh, I'm not able to come, but I'm sending 4 sannyasis. One of those 4 sannyasis was Vishnujan Maharaj, and a great kirtan singer. So we were out on Harinam day and night for the whole weekend. And after that, I was so happy. I said, I'm so happy, why should I go back home? So, but I went back home and said goodbye to my husband, and I went back spiritual life was because Prabhupada said he was coming. He didn't even come. He just said he's coming, and that was enough for me to become a full-time devotee. Not only myself, 4 or 5 other people were there on that weekend. And every one of us didn't go back home. None of us went back home that weekend. Just because Prabhupada said, I'm coming. So that was my first experience with Prabhupada, indirectly. And then the second one was initiation. In those days, the standard was, if you can stay in the temple for 6 months, then you can have initiation. It was very, not so difficult. Of course, it's difficult to stay in the temple for 6 months, live like Brahmachari, Brahmachmini. So I did that. I stayed 6 months, then I went to my temple president, Satsarup Maharaj, and I said, okay, I want to get initiated. He said, oh, you wait for your husband. He's 2 months behind you. You wait 2 more months. I said, okay. I wait 2 more months. So 2 months went by, so I said to my husband, let's get initiated. And my husband said, I'm not ready. I said, okay, I'm not waiting any longer. And I wrote a letter to Prabhupada because Prabhupada was in India at that time. And so if he was not present, then you had to write, you had to make your own beads, you have to string. We didn't have Tulsi beads. We had to string our own beads, buy from some shop some wooden beads, and string them together, and send them to Prabhupada with a letter. So I sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and I said, I quoted Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, where it says that if you don't get the dust of the feet of a pure devotee, you're like a dead body. So I said, Prabhupada, if you don't initiate me, then I'm like dead. So that was my letter. And then he chanted on my beads, he sent them back, and he sent the letter back with the beads. And he said, your first birth is from your material mother and father, but your real birth is from your spiritual master. And he said, then he gave me 6 instructions. And 5 of those instructions I have been following up to this day. 6 is, one is yet to come. So the first one was chant at least 16 rounds. Second, follow all the regulative principles. We have 4. And third was to read and study all my books. 5 was to do deity worship. And, oh, sorry, 4. And 5 was to preach and do sankirtan. So in my life, I spent 7 years in Calcutta, India, from 72. I came into India in 1972. So 7 years I was doing deity worship pujari in Calcutta temple, Radha Govinda. Then 7 years I was doing sankirtan book distribution in Juhu, Bombay, Maharashtra, Gujarat, and Rajasthan, traveling. We had the first traveling party, was the women's party. We went to many in Maharashtra, so many places where devotees never saw devotees before, like Jalgaon. I remember Jalgaon was the best place. We did 1,000 Bhagavad Gita's in one day on the street, just in our table. From 10 morning till 10 night, people were coming, they were taking 5, 10 Gita's at once. And that time was only 11 rupees for one Bhagavad Gita in the 80s. Very cheap Gita. So people were buying them. Even people who had no money, they had all these little 50 pies, 20 pies, and they would bring it like this and say, here, I want one Gita. So anyway, it was very nice. So 7 years I did that instruction, and then now since 1993, I'm reading and studying the books and teaching Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So I followed those 5 instructions my whole life. The 6th instruction is yet to come. The 6th instruction was to be 24 hours engaged in Krishna service. So that is still pending, but I'm working on it. When I was pujari, it was 20 hours. 4 hours I was sleeping. But now I need more sleep, so it takes time. Then I got a second letter from Srila Prabhupada, and he told me how to do all these some devotees to go to India, and my husband and I, we were chosen to go to India. Of course, our temple president, in those days, they didn't give us any money or anything to travel. We had to hitchhike, not like Radhana Swami, we just hitchhiked to New York City, and then we could collect the money for our ticket to India. In those days, 1972, $300 for a one-way ticket. So we collected the money for India, and Prabhupada told us to go to India. Many people ask me, what inspired you to go to India? And I said, well, Prabhupada said, go. And so I went. And he didn't tell me to go back, so I didn't go back. I'm still here after 44 years. He didn't say go back, so here I am. So we have faith in the order of Srila Prabhupada. So we followed. We did impossible things. So we came to India. We came to Juhu, Bombay. 1972, there was no temple. There was a hut, very, very austere hut for the men to live in. It was also the prasadam room, the office, the kitchen, everything in one hut altogether. Depends on which time of day you're in the hut, is what it is. And the ladies' ashram was up on the roof of the building, and it was May month, summer. We were living on the roof in very, very austere conditions. We had no proper drinking water, was layering. And we had one clay pot, and it had a cover, and you take off the cover. This was our drinking water. If you take off the cover, all the mosquitoes will fly out, and we have to drink this water. We were all sick, completely sick. But what to do? We had to, this is what the conditions were there. And Prabhupada, some devotees complained, Prabhupada, this is, we cannot live like this. This is very difficult. So Prabhupada said, don't you want to become pure? So what can we say? Of course we do want to become pure. So therefore we stayed in India. Prabhupada asked for 72, 25 devotees came. And out of those 25, only five stayed. Five of us stayed. One was Jagat Purushan Jew, and there was another husband and wife. And we stayed. Oh, and Bhagavat Prabhu. He stayed. So it was very difficult condition. After 2 weeks, they sent my husband and I to Calcutta. And I was really happy because there was no electricity, there was no water, but at least I had a roof over my head, so I was very happy about that. I mean, I didn't have to sleep on the roof of the building. So in Calcutta I was in Calcutta the whole time that Prabhupada was on this planet. So mostly I would see Prabhupada when he came from Calcutta going to Mayapur, or Mayapur going to Calcutta to leave the country. But before that, I did meet him in America once Atlanta, Georgia, where he had a program. And I first saw him, first time I saw him was at the airport. And as soon as I saw him, we started following behind him. And for the first time in my life, I felt that now I am home. This is where I belong. As a child, when I was 10 years old in my school, I looked around at the children, and I was feeling that I don't belong here. I don't belong with these people, these children. I'm different. I like that. Don't use your intelligence for eating. That's called anamaya. So one time he called me, I was in the room with him, and he singled me out from the other devotees, and he said to me, "My sister tells me that you speak Bhagavatam very nicely." So I was thinking, no, I never spoke Bhagavatam, but to speak of nicely. So I was very confused. I didn't know what he's talking. So then I remembered, in Janamashtami in Calcutta, our practice was to read Krishna book from morning until evening. So, and there were only 10 devotees, so we had to each of us read 2-3 hours. I was reading Krishna book, and Prabhupada's sister was sitting right in front of me, listening. Now, she didn't know a word of English, only Bengali. And I was reading English. But I was being very dramatic. And I was singing Krishna left the gopis. And she started crying and crying and crying. And she told Prabhupada, she speaks Bhagavatam very nicely. So that was the wonderful thing was that 30 years later, I started speaking Bhagavatam. So what I learned from that was that if the pure devotee says something, if the words come from his mouth, it must come true. He said that, I speak Bhagavatam nicely, and so it happened. I started to speak after 30 years, teaching Bhakti by Bhava and Bhakti Vedanta courses in Vrindavan. So for 11 years I was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam in Vrindavan with Guru Chakra. So two things, two predictions, two things came from Prabhupada's mouth in relationship to me, and both of them came true. The first one was in Vrindavan, and the second one was in Mayapur. So in 1973 in Calcutta, I was pujari. I was one of the pujaris, and Prabhupada came to the temple. And the Prabhupada's servant, Sanskrit editor, Pradumna, came to me. He said to me, we are going to Mayapur tomorrow, and Srila Prabhupada is translating Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali. How would you like to come with Prabhupada and type for him? I said, yes, I want to come. So he says, okay, all you have to do is learn to read Bengali, and we're leaving tomorrow. So he gave me this Bengali book. And I learned in 1-2 hours how to read Bengali script, because I have to transliterate from Bengali to English. And I was off with them next day with Srila Prabhupada to Mayapur. And because this devotee, he knew me, when on the first day I joined the temple, he said, now you have to type Bhagavad Gita for Macmillan Company. And you have to learn, they gave me the Ishopanishad, back of the book, you have to learn to read Sanskrit now, because today you have to start typing Bhagavad Gita. So I learned to read Sanskrit first, now then you remember me, now you learn Bengali. So I was in Mayapur with Srila Prabhupada, and again, austere conditions. The whole India was very austere, we didn't have nice temples, nice facilities. And Mayapur, the first building, the Lotus building, there was under construction. So they were building this building. We were living in the building while it was being under construction. It was a little bit better than the guest house in back, that's under construction. There were rooms, and there were doors, but there were no handles on the doors, so you couldn't lock the door. There were holes for windows, but there were no windows. So they were just like holes in the wall. And the ladies' ashram, we had no door, and we had to walk through the next room to get to the door, but the next room had no floor, and we were up on the first floor. So we had to walk on this board to get to the door to go out from our room. Now this is austere. And Prabhupada used to, and I was typing in another room, sitting on the floor with a trunk for my desk, and I had Prabhupada's dictaphone, and I had this big Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita, big one, me. Thank you. So, I was hearing Srila Prabhupada speak in Bengali, and I would read from the book in Bengali, and then I would type it in English. I would hear the Bengali, and then I have to change it from Bengali to English. So I was typing in English, and it was an ancient typewriter, not electric. Of course, we had no electricity most of the time, so it was a manual. So you have to type, and then you have to smack it every time you come to the end. It's not like automatic. You have to type, and then hit type, like this the whole day. And so Prabhupada, he was walking up and down, and he looked in my hole in the wall, which was supposed to be a window. He saw me typing, and he saw this big Bengali book. He said, "Oh, you know Bengali?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada. I just learned the day before how to read." He says, "Oh, so come to my room." And I went to his room. "You know Bengali?" "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." But fortunately, he didn't speak to me in Bengali. I would have to be in trouble. But anyway, he said, "So, I want you to learn how to type in the Bengali language, and we will do many books together." So that was the second thing he said, which never happened when he was here, but 30 years later I started writing books. Now I have 11, 12 books written and 10 more books to go. So that also came true, and he said we will do many books together. I feel the Prabhupada is with me when I am writing these books. So, and then I had these visions, so I'm going to travel with Prabhupada, but it never happened because in Calcutta, all the pujaris left the temple because one new temple president was coming. Everybody was afraid of him, and his name was Garga Muni, and he had a reputation, so everybody left the temple, and then I had to go back and be the head pujari in Calcutta temple. So I was in Mayapur, then one day, Bengali Brahmachari, he came and he was teaching me how to type in the Bengali typewriter. So I was typing on the Bengali typewriter, and then I had the paper you have to copy and then you type. I said, "Look, you don't have to look at the key, just look at the paper and remember where the keys are." And just like in English, you know, you do touch typing. You just look at the paper, you don't have to see where the keys are. So I told him, I said, "See, you don't have to look." And he said, "Oh, now I understand what Prabhupada told me. Prabhupada said to me, you teach her and you learn from her also." So I was teaching him touch typing in Bengali. Then we went to back to Calcutta. Most of my experience with Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta as pujari. So one time I was doing Mangalarti, and I turned around to offer the Gita, and Prabhupada was standing right behind me, and just this far away, because in Calcutta there was no step or anything, it's just all on the same level, the deities and the temple, and only there was one rope to separate us. I turned around and there he was. I had the Gila, and I was really, I didn't know what to do. Should I offer him the Gila or should I make puja? And then, so I think I did a very fast puja and then I offered him the Gila. And then for the whole arti, Prabhupada was standing right behind me, watching me. And that was, I was so nervous, and that was the most attentive arti I ever did. Then after that, I was thinking, well, this is what I learned from that. All my service, like Prabhupada is right behind me watching me what I'm doing. So I should do everything like that, then I will be so attentive in my service. So sometimes Prabhupada would chastise us and sometimes he would praise us. He especially was concerned about cleanliness of the deity room. We had these big, big ghee lamps because the lights were always going out and we had to light the ghee lamps. So one time Prabhupada said, "Why are the ghee lamps so dirty? Who has done this?" And I thought he should have said, "Who has not done this?" But anyway, I was really, when Prabhupada gets angry, you just don't want to be there. You want to kind of look for some place, a hole in the floor, and try to disappear, but you can't do it, so you have to stand there and take So I would change the deity's flowers 5 times a day. 5 times. And Prabhupada really liked flowers. So many, 4 kinds of champa, mohura, jasmine, everything, rose, we had everything. Gardenia, gandharash, lotus, every day, 144 lotus flowers. Every day, 144 lotus. So the lotus flowers, they attracted bees. We had a window in back of the deities, and every day bees would come in. Two big bumblebees would come on Radha Krishna's side, Radha Govinda's side, and they would go inside the lotus. They would circumambulate the deities, and then they would go inside the lotus. So oftentimes I would go in the deity room, and from Krishna's flute there would be a lotus, a bee would come out. And on Jagannath, we had Jagannath's also, two altars just like here, except we had Gauranga and Radha Govinda together. We didn't have bees. So on Jagannath's side, small bees would come and they would sit on the garlands. And this is all just like descriptions of Vaikuntha in Srimad Bhagavatam, that there are bees on the garlands. So we experienced this in Calcutta. The bees were coming every day. In Jagannath they were sitting, and in Radha Govinda's side they were going inside the lotus, big bees. Then Prabhupada, he made a comment about that. He said if the bees are coming to the deities, that means Krishna is pleased with the worship. So the bees were coming every day. And another time there was an artist, Pushkar, famous ISKCON artist. He came to our Calcutta temple. He was painting pictures on the wall of Nishikadev and different scenes. So one day he came to me and he said, Prabhupada told me to get a picture of Radha Govinda. And he said to me, you should paint Krishna like this, very young. I saw Krishna about 11 years old. That's how I saw him. And he looked very, very young, and Prabhupada liked that. He liked Krishna young, Kaishore age. So, now one time, I was greeting the deities, Prabhupada came. He was on his way to Mayapur. And he was sitting on the Vyasasan, sannyasis were surrounding him, and he was so happy with the deity worship that he called. He said, who has decorated the deity? So my husband and I, we both went up. We offered obeisances to Prabhupada, and he said to us, thank you very much. And then, while we were offering obeisances afterwards, one sannyasi came to us, and he said, did you hear what Prabhupada said when you offered obeisances? And we said, no. He said, be blessed. So then we were happy about that, that we were blessed. But then, so the next day we thought, okay, yesterday we got the blessing, now today we have to work again to earn the blessings. Not like, okay, now you got the blessing and your life, of course your life is perfect, but then it doesn't mean that you stop your service and you retire. You have to, every day, you have to keep earning the blessings of the spiritual master. And one time I was on a morning walk in Juhu, Bombay with Prabhupada. I mean, I was late. Prabhupada went on the morning walk and I was running to catch up. And I caught up, and then Prabhupada stopped everyone and he said, Hare Krishna. He was like that. He recognized you, even you're nobody. I was just, who was I, you know? Some one among thousands. But he still stopped to recognize me. So I felt very happy about that. And most of those morning walks are recorded with Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel was sometimes, he had a very good heart. And one time he saw how the devotees were suffering. So he gave, because we were all just, you know, lying on the floor, sleeping on the floor. And one time I was in Juhu, I saw Giriraj Maharaj. Now he's Maharaj. That time he was Brahmachari. And of course we had to go in the hut for prasadam, and he was just lying underneath the table. And I said, Prabhu, what happened? Why are you lying underneath the table? And he said, oh, I have a high fever, and this is the only place that I can lie down where nobody would step on me. That was conscious journeys we were doing, one year he said to us, this year you don't have to do Chaturmasya, you're doing enough austerities already. Because we didn't even, I mean, Chaturmasya means no 1 month, no milk. We had whole year no milk, you know. It was, you couldn't get milk in Calcutta, you couldn't get cow's milk. You couldn't get cow's ghee, everything was contaminated. Even now it's getting difficult again in Vrindavan. So when he would give a lecture in Calcutta Temple, he said to us one time, thank you very much for staying here in Calcutta and preaching, because I cannot do that. I cannot stay, because he was sannyasi and his wife was in Calcutta. So he never stayed very long in Calcutta when he would visit. He says, I cannot stay here, so thank you for preaching. And he said, I know you're not even getting milk to drink. So he was very compassionate with us and very merciful and very concerned about us all the time. And one time he was giving Bhagavad Gita class in Calcutta. Avajananti Mahmuda Manushintan Ashita. Yeah? Parambhava Ajananda Mamabhuta Mahesha. Right, now I forgot it. But he was giving the class on this verse, I remember. And all the brahmacharis and sannyasi, they had the book, and they were saying the verse, but Mataji's didn't have the book, so it came my turn, and I just said the verse from memory. And the Prabhupada looked at me, and he was with big eyes, and he was very, very happy. I knew the verse. He was very happy if you read his books and you learned the verses. So this Bhakti Shastri is very nice. If you can do that, Prabhupada would be very pleased. And he's very pleased if you read his books. Well, another thing about going on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada was that I could never understand. I was trying to figure Prabhupada out with my intelligence. How he's 70, over 70, 77, 78. I'm 24, 25. How is he walking so fast? And how I cannot keep up with him? How come I'm so tired and I cannot walk fast like him? So I was trying to figure out all the time, how is it possible? How can you do this? And then even in the classes, we would all watch him really carefully and try to see, is he in this world? Is he in another world? Where is he? How is he? Because he didn't look, sometimes it looked like you were watching a movie and he was not exactly there. He was there, but also not there, not of this world. So I was trying really hard to figure out Prabhupada with my intelligence, but I never succeeded. And then I realized, oh, Prabhupada, you cannot understand him with your mind, with your intelligence, but only by your devotion. When you serve him with love, then you can understand Prabhupada. So that was another thing I learned. And he also said that chanting Hare Krishna is beyond the mind, beyond the sensual, beyond the intellectual, beyond the mental level. So the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee, he was beyond all these things. And we could not catch up with him. And that's why we followed him, because we could never find, we saw no matter how much austerity we did, Prabhupada did more. We could not do as much austerity as Prabhupada. He was sleeping less than we were sleeping. He was eating less. He was writing more. He was traveling more. And we could not understand how he's so old, how he's doing these things. And we are young and we cannot even do half of what he's doing. So this was Srila Prabhupada. Now, these were my experiences when Srila Prabhupada was here. But after Prabhupada left, I also would like to share one experience I had even after he left. In 1994, I was in Vrindavan, and I was praying that what will be my next service, because I had been before Pujari, book distributor, and then I was a mother for 7 years in between. My son was born here in Bombay, actually. Holy Spirit Hospital, I don't even remember where that is. So I thought, okay, maybe if I go to Prabhupada's house, he has a letter on his desk, maybe it will speak to me. So sure enough, as soon as I went to Prabhupada's house, I read the letter. Then it was confirmation of what my next service would be for Srila Prabhupada. In the letter, Srila Prabhupada said, now you are one of my senior disciples. I am depending on you to carry on this movement. Whatever you have learned the art of Krishna consciousness, so you should teach it purely for the benefit of others. So then I took that instruction from Prabhupada. I felt that he is giving me this instruction. Now, I was in Vrindavan, so how am I going to teach? Because the women, they were not giving Bhagavatam class. And VIHE, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, in 1994, was only for men. There was only men's Bhakti Shastri, no women's. I said, how Prabhupada wants me to teach? How will I do that? So no facility. So then I understood anyway, somehow I just have to do. So I started to teach in my room outside. I was staying in one life member's house. I started to teach Bhagavad Gita. But then, after a few weeks, the chokidars got angry and said, you cannot bring people here. This is somebody's private house. You cannot bring anybody. So then I started to teach on the roof of the Krishna Balaram guest house for a few weeks, months. Then after that, next year, I got a place. So for 3 years, I was teaching just where I live. I was teaching Bhagavad Gita. 1997, they started the women's Bhakti Shastri in Vrindavan, and I taught, the next year I taught the Ramacharis, and I was up traveling all over Europe teaching after that. So, if you just take another, I learned from that, Prabhupada is still here. If you just take his order, his instructions, to your heart, then he will help you. He will give you facility, even if there is no facility. He taught us impossible is a verb in a fool's dictionary. So therefore, I said, okay, he wants me to teach. I just have to teach. It doesn't matter where and when and how. I just did it. As they say, just do it. So devotional service is like that too. You just do it. And Prabhupada is always pushing me. To take the next step. So in my life, I had a few experiences with him, but mainly what I learned from Srila Prabhupada was his mood. His mood was take a risk for Krishna. Give your life for Krishna. Don't think that anything is impossible. You can do anything for Krishna. You can do anything for Krishna. If you have faith in the spiritual master, in Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna, then you can do miracles. You should never give up hope. Always have that hope that, yes, I can also do wonderful things for the pleasure of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. So that has been my experience. If anyone has any questions, you can also ask at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was age 22.
What was the point?
What was
the point? What was the
attraction to you?
What attracted me?
I want to ask one more thing. In Bhagavata, there is a thing, it is said that bhakti comes from life to life. It comes from one life to another life.
Right. Okay, so his question is, I came from a different culture, and how is it I became attracted to this? Well, as I was speaking this morning in one video, that God is one. So I was brought up as a Christian, and I had, actually when I was 4 years old, they put me in front of the church and I was already singing some songs about Christ in front of the whole church. Then when I was 10, when I was a child, my mother took me out from the school early, 2-3 days a week to go to church school. So I was being trained. happy that I got a check to go back to the spiritual world. So then when I was 13 years old, I was in the church. As I said, when I was 10, I was looking around and I was thinking, I'm not American. I understood I'm not from this country or this world. I don't know where I'm from. Then when I was 13, I was in the church one morning and I was watching the people. And I saw they're coming to show their clothes. They're coming to gossip, to socialize. And they don't really believe about Christ. And I said, I believe. I believe that the love of God is the highest thing and we should do that. These people, they're not following. And so I started to lose faith at that point in the church. So when Prabhupada came, then I saw, yes, here is the real love of God. Here is the love. It doesn't matter what name you call. So actually, the word Christ comes from Krishna. That's Krishna. Because in the Greek, Krishna is Christos. Christ is Christos. And Krista, Krishna. So what attracted me was Srila Prabhupada, of course, that not only his books were speaking the truth, but here was a living example of the truth. Here was a living example of a saint, a person who has actually developed love of God and can teach us how we can live a life based on love of God. I'm very scientific. What attracted me also was the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Yeah, we don't know. Prabhupada said he tricked us, actually, and we didn't want Krishna consciousness, but somehow he tricked us. But I was very attracted to the chanting and to the books, to everything, the whole culture. I remember before I became a devotee, I tried to put on a sari before I saw the devotees. Somehow I was putting it on. I bought some cloth and I was wrapping it. But yeah, it could be from some previous life, but why I feel so home in India. So, and I'm still here for 4 years. But mostly it was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he had the desire. When he went to America, he had the desire that all of us would become devotees, that all of us would understand Krishna's message. So if a pure devotee has a desire, Krishna must fulfill it. So fortunately, we got the benefit of Prabhupada's desire. We got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And because of that, as I said before, he is the one who actually inspired me to take the next step in spiritual life. I never thought I would do something like this in my life. I was going to be a musician, but then when I saw the devotees, and I started to chant Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, then I accept everything. I became purified and I could accept everything. And because I was very strong in my religious beliefs, then I could accept Srila Prabhupada. And now, strong means not that, I'm the best. But you have to be also open to learn from other religions and others. So I was open in that way. And when I saw the real thing, then I could accept it. That's why I rejected before, because I saw these people, they're not serious. They don't really believe all this, what they're doing. But when I saw Prabhupada and the devotees, I could see, yes, these people are actually serious about God. And they have knowledge too, because the Bible is very limited. But we have so many books here, Bhagavatam. How is the creation happening? Bible said God created, okay, but not how, let me say how. Bhagavatam, you find the whole description of the creation. All the planets, all the heavenly planets, what's the life on the heavenly planets, what's the hellish planets like, what's the lower planets, all the different places where all the different living entities live in this world. It's very, very interesting scientific knowledge. Yes, and we're trained in that scientific way, that we want to know about the soul and what happens and how can you determine your next life by this life. How can you live this life so you can choose Not much. Actually, we went through one very austere time, but it was a misunderstanding, miscommunication. So everybody was saying, good morning, 8 chickpeas, and 1 hand of cereal. And there was a misunderstanding. And then lunch, 2 chapati and dal. And so for a few weeks we had to suffer like this, but then afterwards Prabhupada said, no, you have to eat regular meals. 3 times. Now, old age, I can only eat 1 time, really. No. That was before. That was the wrong one. But actually, no, we had everything. Dal, rice, chapati, lunch, big lunch, and some dinner and milk, every night milk, for sure. And Krishnamukha and milk together, every night. Krishnamukha and milk. Breakfast also we had. We had 3 times. But Sunday, so much feast.
Remember how much quantity he take? That is I
asked. Oh, Prabhupada's diet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But Prabhupada for breakfast, he would have like maybe 1-2 sweets, some dried fruit, and maybe some chira, like that. Not so much. Breakfast, little. Maybe some. And then lunch, dal, rice, chapati, 2 sabjis. Then 4 o'clock, coconut water or juice. Evening, yeah, like maybe puri sabji, nighttime, sometimes only samosa.
How many tablets?
Prabhupada, breakfast, lunch, and little dinner. Yeah, 3 times. 3 times. Prabhupada.
Milk is regularly? Milk regularly?
Milk, yeah. And it's 1 glass. But nighttime, Prabhupada is not sleeping. Maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours only. And then afternoon sleep. He's sleeping 1-2 hours afternoon, 1-2 hours nighttime. Not much sleep.
Day?
Yeah, day also sleeping, like maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, after lunch. Nighttime, 10:30, 11 sleeping, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 awake, and translating. Prabhupada. Yes?
Things inside. You don't get proper milk in Western countries.